I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we're back for episode 133 of Digital Divination.
And I'm Ron Lundeen, and I'm an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
Excellent, excellent.
That was quick. That was my quickest disclaimer yet.
I know, think. And yeah. It was so clear and not even like, that was perfect. Well done, well done. After, you know, some 100 episodes, you're down pretty well.
I'll learn. Yeah, I've been there almost 3 years now. That's a long time.
Well, off and on, right? Because we've had this show for a long time.
Right. I didn't do this show for a while, but...
I know. That's okay.
My opinions have been mine and not theirs for almost 3 years. That's the point.
But before that...
My opinions were mine, trademarked, do not copy under penalty of law, I guess.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, not a lot of new stuff has come out for Starfinder 2nd Edition, but some new stuff has.
Okay.
Okay. And you may or may not be aware. Alex Spiedel has posted this last week about a series of blogs he's going to be doing about Starfinder 2nd Edition Society play.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's kind of like...
I saw this and was kind of excited that it sort of puts a marker down as being the first in a series. Like, here's a bunch of stuff we're going to tell you, and then we're going to tell you a whole bunch more on this following cadence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's super useful.
Yeah, and I think that what it means is they've kind of figured out what they're going to do, and so now they can share it. So I'm pretty stoked about that. So that's one thing. We also know that sometime this month, maybe even this coming week, who knows, the Mechanic and Technomancer playtests should be coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be real soon, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be soon. And finally, we know that sometime this month, Galaxy Guide is supposed to be out.
Yeah, that's right.
So we know a lot about stuff coming, but we don't know anything about the stuff, so...
Well, can I ask your guys' opinions about a Mechanic and Technomancer thing? Certainly, when they put out two classes, they don't need to have a sort of common design or common thread, but sometimes they might. And it seems to me that Mechanic and Technomancer have sort of a narrative thread about a focus on technology. But in Starfinder First Edition, they were very different mechanically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if the Starfinder 2nd Edition versions of them, are they going to remain really independent mechanically, or are they going to have some sort of like design commonality between them that makes playtesting them both at the same time a way to test the sort of the underlying design? You see, is that, I don't know if I'm being too obscure.
I hear what you're saying. And I think it's actually the reverse of that.
Okay.
So, I think they have different mechanics, and I'm looking at the playtest description right now, right? The mechanic syncs with their exocortex to deploy mines, turrets, or command a drone, right? The technomancer hacks magic to overclock their gear and mod their own spells, right? So they're different kind of areas that they go. Now, what I think they're going to do is that in Starfinder 1st Edition, there's a lot of overlap over what they could do and how they could do it in terms of skills and accomplishing some things, you know, hacks and crafting, whatever
right,
it would be now.
And stuff, yeah. And,
you know, so computers in engineering before. So I think maybe what they're trying to do is be able to show that there are very distinct differences now between them. And so maybe one's going to be more focused on engineering or crafting, right? And one's going to be maybe more focused on computers or arcana, right? Or obviously arcana, the mechanic isn't. So maybe they're trying to demonstrate there is a big distinction. That's my guess.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, it's different. Like mentioning that mines and turrets, which are not something that were in first edition mechanic at all. That's going to be a definite departure from the first edition stuff, because we don't, what's that mean? What is, we know what the drone probably is going to look like, right? It's going to look like probably some sort of drone, like animal companion situation. It's going to work under those rules most likely. And are they doing any kind of like, because first edition mechanic was, you got your exocortex was, well, it was exocortex or drone.
Right.
And your exocortex was your brain one and just sort of let you shoot better. And the drone was an animal companion.
And it kind of reads that way now, because it says exocortex to deploy mines and turrets or command a drone. So I don't know if it's exocortex can do all these things, or the or is the tied to exocortex.
Do you guys have with the Pathfinder second edition inventor, which has kind of the overclock ability, right? It seems the mechanic is going to be it could hew very closely to the Pathfinder inventor. I have not looked at the inventor under the remaster Guns and Gears, which I think is out.
Yes. The remaster is not going to be like, it's not a rework of the whole rework of the class. That the Guns and Gears and whatnot are just sort of like, well, we tweaked it so that it fits and we can reprint it under the Orc license instead of it being an OGL license, right? I think the mechanic, if the two systems, if Python and Starfinder are meant to kind of like, oh, you can use them simultaneously if you like, then the mechanic can't be so close to the inventor that it eclipses it or makes it redundant or just sort of is the same thing, right? Because that's not going to be interesting for people who want to buy both books to be sort of mercenary about it, right? So, but there definitely could be some similarities, at least whether or not the inventor had the robot companion, which wasn't an animal, like it was its own thing. It wasn't like just use the stats for a wolf and whatever, but it had its own sort of set of, the drone companions could be like that, right? Instead of being like its own, I mean, it would have to be something because, most likely there's no, Tashtari animal companions in the player core. There's probably not enough room for that, right? Yeah. But I'd say there won't be in the future, but what does it take to have a pet? And some, in the 2E realm of things, it usually goes like it does for Rangers and Druids and whatever, right? Like it looks like this and does this. And the robot companion in the robot innovation or something like that, I think it's called in the inventor, it's pretty similar, but it's not like, but it has its own quirks because it's a robot instead of a wolf.
But the exchange is the same, right? When you've got one of the pet classes in Pathfinder, then you are exchanging one of your actions to be able to have a certain effect of a thing. And that effect you have has mathematical bounds, right?
Yeah.
And the inventor is a different type of thing, but it still falls within the cost. The expense of one action gives you a result within these mathematical bounds of things that occur.
Right. Then that makes it look different a little bit from the summoner, which is a quote unquote pet class, but has its own
like combo actions.
Combo action economy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got a summoner in my Strength of Thousands campaign that I'm running. We're just about finishing up book 4 of 6. And the summoner player knows their class very, very well. And so being able to see the interplay of the different actions is it's kind of neat to see.
I played really briefly like three or four sessions as summoner, and I was like just sitting there because I've never played one before. Like I sat down and wanted to make one just to try it out, and I was like it was freaking my being a little bit to begin with, but I ended up working it out okay because it was just more to do the, it was like, I think someone did this as a meme on social media at one point. I was like, you can play with Book of the Dead, play an undead, basically a summoner who is undead who can summon undead, something undead, and what I did, and I may have told this to y'all before, I was a ghost who summoned his own corpse
and your eidolon was your own corpse.
Yeah, my own zombie, basically, and I was constantly like calling it an idiot.
that's really clever.
Yeah, but getting into the weeds with that. But hopefully, whatever we see for that. But what do mines mean? What does turret mean?
Right.
Like how?
Yeah,
like,
that's not something
that's in the inventor, right? They have the weapon innovation, which you know could be a you know a gun, right? You could do that.
Right.
What is a turret? You know, hey, you know, I mean, you got to imagine that it's something that it looks like a turret that shoots some from a different point than your point, but like, is that, you know, what does that make that different from a drone? Because that is also something that usually just shoots, goes over there and shoots somebody. Right. So who knows? I mean,
you know, it's
I kind of know, but I'm not, I can't say.
You mentioned the inventor and remastered. So you remember when they did, I don't know if it was in Starfinder Enhanced, when they introduced the weapons and the armor based mechanic,
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. There were kind of like innovations. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right, yeah. And that reminds me a lot about what they did with the inventor, right? So you can have weapons and armor as well. You know, so maybe they've taken that part of the mechanic and said, you know what, we're just going to leave that with the inventor, and we're just going to stay more with the core of what the mechanic was originally, which was, you know, exocortex for either having it internal for you to aid what you're doing, or commanding something the drone else. now these other things. And yeah, that the notion of mines and turrets, I'm thinking with turrets is all of a sudden you can like just roll out, you know, something and a little turret pops up and you have them popping up all over, you know, for point defense and things like that. Actually sounds kind of cool.
Well, that would be pretty cool. And it doesn't need to happen right away either, right? If they come out with and they say, okay, well, the two things you can do with it is your exocortex or your drone, that doesn't close the door on everything the mechanic can do, even in whatever book the mechanic appears in, right? They could say, we've got this, you know, when it actually comes out, it can be, well, we've got this exocortex and this drone and this other thing. You remember that the in first edition Starfinder, they sort of broke the mold of the classic Solarian. You are either going to be an armor Solarian or a weapon Solarian, melee weapon Solarian. And they're like, oh, well, except here's a ranged weapon one now, right? And I feel like that kind of expansion that gives a class a whole new way to look at what its core feature is a really neat way to expand and sort of keep the class alive. In some cases, it's maybe a little obvious that the class can go that way when the champion first appeared and you could be lawful good, neutral good, and chaotic good. I mean, it was just, everybody knew it was kind of a matter of time before we got the bad ones too.
Right.
So, but that's, I think that's, even if that's not something we see right away in the playtest, or even if we don't see it in the book that it comes out in, that doesn't mean that that's not going to end up being a perfectly valid direction for a mechanic to go.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's one of the things, if a good class, when it's designed, if it has like specific class paths, like a fighter doesn't have that, it just has lots of people, you know, but if it has specific class paths, if the more open that is, the more you can sort of make more of them, the better, I think, kind of designed the class is, you know, like there's like, in a way, like, you know, Sorcerer Bloodlines is nigh, and it's not infinite, but it's pretty cool. You can, you know, think of other things to be blooded in some way, right?
Right.
And there's so many already in there, and you can, I don't, you know, I add a couple more here and there. It's not that big, but you can always just sort of add that as a back matter for an adventure or something, you know, something that, or another book, right? So yeah, so it's, you know, that, you know, like you said, fingers crossed there'll be more stuff that it can do.
Well, I think that's the thinking, right? And the opposite of that is something like the cleric, where you're picking cloistered cleric or war priest, and that was kind of it for the bulk of all, you know, of Pathfinder. So for much of Pathfinder second edition time, there wasn't enough kind of design room for something else necessarily. So I think that there's been some lessons learned about making the classes sort of expandable in the future in a way, and I'm excited to see that.
I got a question for, you know, the other bit of this is the Technomancer, and I've heard a lot of complaints about the 1E Technomancer in the past, and I want to know what you all think about it, and how do you feel like it is something separate from basically being, you know, wizard with space adjectives appended to it. Instead of a spell book, you have a data cache or whatever it was. You know, what do you all think about that?
You want to go first, John?
Yeah, I I played it as a space wizard. I mean, so, that was kind of my sense for it. But, you think about at the time, before we had Witchwarper and, all these other things, because Technomancer came out, if you were doing magic, you had the Mystic or you had the Space Wizard. I thought it was wholly appropriate. I like the vibe now that it's going towards hacking magic and or kind of like more hybridization with technology, because Technomancer sounds more like a technology magical hybrid. And so it looks like it's kind of going in that direction. I didn't really feel it that as much before, though.
No, I agree. No, so that's what I hear from people talking about it. Yeah. First. It didn't feel techno-y enough. It just kind of felt sort of magic-y with sometimes the occasional, techno word, computery word kind of thrown into its abilities, whatever. But it's good to see that they want to move it to, because, again, if this is meant to be compatible, you've got a wizard and, there's no point in just making Space Wizard.
Right. I feel very much the same way. When Starfinder First Edition first came out, I was not particularly excited about the Technomancer. And I think it's probably fair to say I was never particularly excited about the Technomancer. And that's because it was too close to the classical wizard, whereas the Mystic was different enough from the classic cleric that it felt like kind of a new thing. And playing a Mystic in A Cosmic Birthday, I feel it is very different, even from not just sort of the archetypal cleric in a role-playing game, but even the Pathfinder second edition cleric. It is distinctive enough from that in the way that it sort of rolls out the healing and the identity and the magic that it does. So I quite like that a lot. I think that the big problem with building a Technomancer from the get-go is being, this is the one that hacks magic, right? Well, hacks what? There's no wizard in the game. The closest thing you've got is this Technomancer, and anything that they are hacking isn't something that they are contorting or using in a new and interesting way. They are by definition the only way to do it. So their hacking kind of doesn't really do anything. I feel like having the Technomancer come later, after we've seen, for example, the Witch Warper, which has its own way of releasing magic, can really make you feel like you're actually hacking, like you're breaking something. You're breaking the rules of something in a way that makes you feel good. I think that when people first heard that the Starfinder Player Core was going to omit two of the classes that they thought were kind of fundamental to the game, the mechanic and the Technomancer are going to come later. For the Technomancer in particular, my immediate thought was, well, good, because you want to be the one that subverts the expectations of a casting class to come after you've established the casting classes, not in the same book.
Good point.
Yeah, I always thought of those two, though, as like your primary hackers, right? Your technology, computer, equipment hackers. And so that, like, when we're playing Cosmic Birthday now, it kind of feels weird to have all the other classes doing the hacking.
You mean like using the computer skill?
But
the Technomancer couldn't really deliver on that in first edition either, because the operative was just better at it. I shouldn't be blaming the Technomancer for the faults of the operative.
And I'd like to change, it's funny now in our Cosmic Birthday playtest, we don't have anybody who does the hacking, like the mechanic or the Technomancer. So we're always saying, how about the operative? And the operative said, I got no skills, man. That's completely different.
I'm single target damage now. That's my jam.
So it's kind of neat to see that big swing there.
Yeah, and I think the Envoy, which is the new sort of skill monkey, our Envoy has just poured everything into the charisma skills. And so that's what she does.
Witchwarper can do some stuff too, but yeah.
You're int based? No, is Witchwarper charisma based?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, John's a Witchwarper.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but is he charisma skill? Is it your key attribute charisma?
I don't think so.
It must be charisma, right?
That's right. I think that's right.
Now I got to go look. Come on, man. How do I have a core book here?
Just draw it real quick. Pull up the Foundry game.
I don't know if it's running.
It is. It's always running.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
You pay for a server.
It's always there, John.
You can always get on it. Unless I've got another game open.
Yeah, I know. I have, I do the same thing, but I'm used to other people's that aren't always running. Well, you guys talk amongst yourselves as I try to get this figured out. So.
All right.
Oh, while you get the answer. Literally, I could just reach back and grab the book.
That
would be, you would be turning your head away from the camera. Oh, he's turning his face away from the camera.
I just did it. I went, when you cross upstage or downstage, whatever the cardinal sin in the theater is.
I'm downloading world data. This is so long. Whose server is this?
It's not intelligence. Intelligence is what Witch Warpers use.
Yeah,
you are the smarty one.
You're the smart one every day.
Yeah. I have a +4 int. I mean, a modifier. In terms of skills, I have quite a bit. Anyway, yes. So I end up being one of the people that can do the hacking and stuff like that.
Computerized.
Which I actually like. I'm glad that the Witch Warper is int-based. I kind of like that part of it. So it's the new space wizard, but it's not like a regular wizard. It's different.
It's not. It's almost space sorcerer, but not really. Right. Also, it's way different. It's different. It's got its own little shtick, right, that you do the bubble, right, and do weird things with that. Yeah. It's got that. It does have that two-part thing that is like how the psychic works with two parts of it. You pick, it's not one choice, one class path choice. It's
right.
A class path made of two different things. So there's a fun combo.
Yeah. Number. Yeah. I've liked it. I never really enjoyed the Witch Warper in Starfinder first edition. So, I kind of like the change of flavors. I actually really like the precog. And so I'm glad that that's an option. Yeah, because Ron played a precog in one of my games. This is so much fun. I can't believe how great this is.
I think now that my odds of playing Starfinder First Edition ever again are pretty low because the exciting new thing is Starfinder Second Edition, I think that I can look back on that and say that probably precog is probably my favorite First Edition class.
Mm. Fun.
So I'm glad to see that kind of come into
the
form of the Witch Warper. So there are things coming, questions that we have, things to talk about
next time.
So, but hypothetically here, this is a hypothetical question for you. If we could bring in the Starfinder team here and ask them one by one about things we know that are coming that we would like to get clarifying information on that they could talk about now, prior to actual releases on things. What type of questions would you want to ask them?
It's a quick, tricky question for me because I sort
of. I know it is really tough for you.
Obvious reasons. Let me think about it, Ron. Do you have?
I have one question. How do you envision rolling out Ancestries? And I ask that because Pathfinder, I think, is a very different vision for rolling out Ancestries. They did it in the core rule books. They've got the Lost Omens books have an awful lot of, Lost Omens Ancestry Guide is one of those that has a lot of Ancestries. But I'm the guy that put the Shuni into an adventure path and received some pretty negative feedback from sort of the overall design team about where a new Ancestry ought go. Right. Where a new ancestry belongs versus where an ancestry does not belong. And I take issue with the whole belong because it's all we make our own rules when we're at Paizo. Right. But that said, what I'd like to find out about is because we've got this, the Murder in Metal City Deluxe Adventure is going to have a new ancestry. The Galaxy Guide, which is coming out before the core rulebook, it has a bunch of ancestries in it. Right. It seems that their plan is to be very free with more ancestries. Does that mean, first of all, how do they see their vision of rolling out ancestries? Are they going to kind of be throwing them into everything? And the follow-up to that is, does that mean that ancestries that aren't in the core book going to be less supported sort of definitionally? If we have the kind of the plant creature that they've said is going to be part of Murder in Metal City, are we ever going to see more ancestry feats for them? And if so, will that be a little awkward to put them in a different book where they say you have to go buy this deluxe adventure to get the base ancestry? How do they intend to roll out ancestries is maybe one of the questions that I have.
Yeah.
Well, and was that enough of a delay to give Jason time to come up with his question?
A little bit, yeah. I'm okay. Actually, related to that, I am curious to know about more about, as always, adventures and what kind of, like, you know, are we going to see more deluxe box set deals? Adventure paths that I don't know if we've talked about any kind of thing like that, and if they're gonna follow the same Mechageddon
single book kind of approach,
book versions, another smaller team, so that would kind of make a little more sense to try to not have to try to put something out monthly and just sort of do the cadence of whenever. A question too, like I wanted, like, if they have thoughts about the fact the announced Pathfinder game night thing, and whether or not they would want to do something like that for Starfinder,
at their own like game. A Starfinder game night,
yeah, which is, you know, basically like the everything you need to play just in one little thing.
Now, Pathfinder game night does have all the rules, right? You don't need the core rulebook to play that.
You don't need the core rulebook to play it, yeah, apparently.
But you do need the core rulebook to play the Deluxe Adventure Murder in Middle City.
Right, so they're the same thing.
Even though they will both be in boxes and sitting maybe next to each other on your store shelf, they're sort of aiming towards different things.
Yeah, they might be different size boxes, who knows.
Okay.
Well, I'm interested in, so a while back, Organized Play Foundation surveyed players, in particular with regards to Starfinder, what kind of changes they would like to see going into Starfinder Second Edition. You know, what are, for lots of different things. And so I'm really curious to see how things are going to shake out. And we'll probably see it at Gen Con, you know, for sure. And hopefully Alex will be talking about these things in terms of, you know, scenario frequency, scenario lengths, all kinds of stuff with that. You know, for a while, Starfinder Society scenarios came out twice a month, you know, first one time a month, then it ramped up twice a month, and now it's kind of down to one time a month, whereas Pathfinder has been pretty consistently twice a month. Starfinder Society scenarios are a lot of them can run notoriously long. And so, you know, one of in the feedback I gave is, hey, we need to shorten these things up. And so I'm really curious to see how this thing's happened. Now, probably they have to wait till Alex announces something before they can talk more about that. Who knows, you know, what kind of spoilers with that, you know. But yeah, I'm really kind of excited about that. Yeah, it's a tough issue because we don't want them to spoil something they're not ready to spoil.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, we kind of do because then it would drive our viewer numbers way up.
I know, but that's not what we're about. I've always had somebody who worked at Paizo either currently or in the past on this show, and I don't want to get people in trouble, and I don't want to get the company in trouble. Right, you know, it's not what we're trying to do. But clarifying, I think, is good.
Yeah. The team would know well enough to deflect and pivot questions.
Right. Yeah. But I don't even want to put them in that position. You know, that's kind of not what the goal we have.
Can I have another thing? Can I get another vote?
Oh, yeah, for as many as you like.
I'd want to know. I don't know many of the current Starfinder people like very well as people, as gamers. So I'd kind of want to get to know, what do they like playing that maybe isn't Starfinder, or what have they had? What are their real formative science fiction influences?
I think that's a good
that's
one.
That's the kind of thing that would be kind of fun to get to know them as people in their role.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to a former Starfinder developer, not named Jason Keeley, and one of the things that he had mentioned was how Star Frontiers was so formative for a lot of the initial creation of Starfinder. Yeah. That was, you know, a lot of the initial people getting involved were really, really interested in that. And when I went and looked back at, some different aspects of Star Frontiers, I can kind of see where some of that's come through. Well, now the new team is putting their own stamp on it, you know? So I'm with Ron. I think it, you know, where do they see? I mean, that's like really old stuff. So they're younger folks. Maybe they're pulling from all the new stuff that's out there. So I'd like to get a sense for where it's going based on that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaking of kind of current things and what's going on, I heard that Jason has this obsession right now.
Right. So this video game came out on Thursday, and I've been kind of playing it a little almost nonstop to some detriment. Ron disappeared.
He does not want to hear about your game.
He doesn't want to hear a damn
But he'll be
thing
back
about
in a second.
Here I am.
There he goes. I thought you had frozen there for a second.
It is anyway, a week.
No. It's happening. I should have been probably, working a little more freelance and whatnot than whatever. And the other night I was like, oh, no, it's 11 o'clock. Anyway, this game is called Blue Prince. Prince. But that is a deliberate pun, because the game is about creating a house, drafting different rooms. So it's got this, it's a puzzle, it's kind of a roguelike puzzle game. You have like a certain amount of time to go in, and you're this like 14-year-old kid who's like inherited his uncle's estate, and you have to find, there's 45 rooms of estate, you have to find the mysterious 46th room. And so you're going in there, and you get to an entrance chamber, and there's a door, and you go to a door, and it goes, okay, now what do you want to be on the other side of the door? Is it the bedroom? Is it the hallway? Is it, you know, the library, right? And then you just pick that, and you go in, and maybe there's keys in there. There are like coins for buying stuff. You might find things and other tools for, so it's a little bit of an adventure game. And every day you basically have 50 steps, and a step is sort of entering a room. You go through that, and you're trying to get all the way to the other side of the. If you start from like one end of the manor and trying to get to the other end, basically. And it's and the rooms have different exits, and sometimes you can block them off. You're not being careful, or they're dead ends, and then you got to turn around and get right. You make sure that you basically got this like 5x9 grid. You've got to fit things in. And it's just like, and then if that happens, if you just can't get anywhere, you don't have the keys or gems or whatever enough or enough steps, the day is over. And then the whole house resets, and you've got to basically start from scratch. You maybe learn some information. There's things you can, puzzles you can suss out by learning things. This game is heavily, like, if I talk about it too much, I'll spoil it too much.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of secrets. And every time everyone said, like, the first couple days I'm playing, I'm like, what? Oh, what's happening? Oh my God. And just sort of blowing my mind. I still haven't gotten to that room yet. I got really close, earlier tonight. But I was presented with a puzzle I couldn't quite get past for whatever reason.
Oh, wow.
So I had to kind of start over. And now I have to kind of get the thing that does the thing and do the thing. But it's also this randomness in it that is sort of a little frustrating sometimes, because it's like, I know the puzzle to do this and this, like to power up the machine in the laboratory, you have to have the boiler room next to it. But how do you can't plan to put those two things together. You kind of have to get lucky and kind of draw them close to one another, do something to basically get them close to one another. Or like, I've got the boiler room, I'm going to try to, but see, once you go to a door and open it, you have to put a room there. You can't go like, well, never mind. And it's just like,
would like a puzzle game,
Who would have thought? But who would have thought I'd like this so much? I didn't realize it was going to like grip me. So, and I was hearing good reviews about it. And I played the demo when it came out. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to be bad at this, but I'm actually not terrible at it.
Yeah. And this is why you're taking Monday and Tuesday off? I didn't realize that.
A little bit, yes. To be honest, yes. It just happened to coincide with the fact
I do that a lot with releases too.
We shipped Battlecry to the printer on Friday. I'll take a couple days off. But I'm gonna be doing that. And I'm also gonna be going to a jigsaw puzzle competition tomorrow night.
Oh, fun.
Oh my.
Yes, with Joe Pacini. He found out about it, and he went to one, and he was like, and he brought back the puzzle, and we you got to do this. And so it's like a 250, it's going to be a different puzzle, obviously, but it's probably like a 250 piece, but weird cut. And apparently the people it's in Portland, and there's some people from Portland who weren't there last time because they were at like the national championships or something like that. So we'll be competing against some real heavy hitters. So,
wow. I have confidence in you and Joe Pacini together.
Yeah,
we did pretty good. We did pretty good.
You'll represent.
We'll probably be around half an hour to get this puzzle done, but that's what I'm hoping. Whether or not I don't know if that'll get us any. I don't know. I don't even know if there's a prize or anything. It's just sort of like apparently they do this every Monday at this place, which is the name I can't remember, but whatever. So puzzles, yes. Puzzles and also puzzles.
The prize should be one single piece of some meta jigsaw puzzle that you have to get with all the winners over the course of a year in order to solve.
Wow. That's
and that is a treasure map that leads to Blackbeard's gold.
Right. Well, it's close enough to Astoria that it's like One-Eyed Willy and Goonies pirate treasure. That's,
Goonies.
As soon as you're doing any pirate hunting near Astoria, that's what it's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, never say die.
So for me, I'm really getting into Shadow Dark. I'm really interested in that. And got to play some last weekend. And I'm going to play some this weekend at another convention, NorwestCon, which Paizo is the spotlight publisher for it.
Did we send them
Jenny and that?
Quite a lot,
Jenny
quite a few
and Mike,
people, yes.
From the Starfinder team. I think I know about this.
They're the rep, so that'll be exciting. And I hear Ron's going to be a special guest panelist on.
I am on a panelist for a lot of panels. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And I'm on a lot of panels with Paizo people that I know. Well, and a lot of people from the industry that I've met before, and then a lot of people from the industry I haven't met before, but I want to. And so being on a panel is a good way to do that. So
cool.
So we'll have more to report back afterwards. So hopefully next time we'll have lots of stuff to talk about. We'll see.
Sure. I mean, we kind of have to try to convince. Stuff to talk about this time too. I mean, it ended up.
We do well. But so our task then is to corner some Starfinder folks to see if they'll answer our questions on the air. Think we can do that?
All right, you get on that.
Corner them in an exceptionally polite way.
Right? Yes, of course, yeah, we wouldn't.
You've done so many interviews with so many of these people, right?
I've interviewed them.
Leverage past connections.
But they don't want to, maybe they don't want to talk to me again. I don't know. It's too much.
Offer them. Say you can come on the show and you can ignore everything that John says and you just have to Jason.
In fact,
and Ron.
I won't even be here. It'll just be Jason and Ron.
I have no technical competence when it comes to actually putting this together. I don't know that people realize how important John is to everything here. So it's setting Zoom up and doing all the editing. I mean, literally the camera I'm talking into the camera I'm looking at and the microphone I'm talking into was it John gave me just so that we could do this? I mean, John is the backbone of all this.
All right. Well, this has been another fun and exciting week, and I look forward to more and more information as it comes out here. Hopefully.
We're getting there. We're getting to the point where we'll have stuff to like concrete second edition stuff to talk about.
Yes.
Not necessarily enough, maybe not necessarily enough to last us until August, but at least a few of these episodes will be about concrete second edition.
Concrete stuff. Yes. That's our goal.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Alrighty. Or not. I'm John. At the end at the end instead of the beginning that I got a bunch of new chicks. We have nine new chicks.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that. You guys were going to show me. I forgot to go out there.
No. It's not like you're not going to be here again. My, I think I might have mentioned that our flock went from 8 over the winter to 3.
Yeah, you did.
Well, we're starting again with a whole new flock. We have nine baby chicks now that are in the underneath the heat lamp and the little place for them in our garage where they could stay warm and toasty and safe.
Nice.
Safe in particular from the husky we have, who considers them to be bite-sized.
Oh,
so we got to keep the husky away.
She's going to be that way with him. How is she with the other chickens?
It doesn't seem to care about them very much. I mean, the chickens kind of keep to themselves, and they're skittish. I mean, obviously, because they're the 3 of the 8 that have survived, probably because they are the most skittish. But it's survival trait, I guess.
Yes. Have to get more updates and pictures even that we can post.
This time I put the chicken update at the end rather than at the beginning.
Yeah, I know, keep the people listening.
That's
so
exactly
get to the
right.
Chicken update.
And maybe
we should
next
have
time
teased
I will stop
it, though.
Mid-sentence in the middle of the show in order to give a chicken update.
They'll tune out once you've given chicken news.
No, we should have teased and listen to the end for another chicken update. That's what she's supposed to do.
Next time. You got to listen all the way through. And if Ron doesn't say anything about the chickens, you have to just keep listening.
You know, speaking of, if we're going to do updates, you know, when I drove by the goat hugs place, there was a whole family. There were tons of people there getting goat hugs.
Oh, really?
Whoa. You guys have never told me about goat hugs.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we talked about it on the air.
Oh, the north part of Carnation, you know, there is a, I won't go into all that. I can go into the details about the way that the city is structured in kind of a funny way, but there's a place you drive by on the main highway out of town with a sign that says goat hugs $5. And they just have goats and you can go pet their goats.
I know we told you this and you said you'd be all over that. We talked about a goat hug subscription. I'm going to have to bring this back in a flashback.
I have terrible memory.
We could do like a little picture in picture of the, of the actual, when you talk about it before. And,
did I tell you guys that the hardware store and feed store in De Niro House has donkeys and chickens and geese and ducks and
really? Pigeons? Yeah, you have, but yes.
I have mentioned that. Okay. Again, terrible memory.
I don't remember donkeys.
I don't remember donkeys either, but I remember you talking about ducks and chickens and geese and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So how many donkeys have you signed up for? Is that?
I can't get near the donkeys.
Okay.
I can only look at them from afar.
All right. Fair.
Yeah. You want to sign us out?
I'm going
to
close now. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
For the sake of everyone, I think. Well,
I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason, and this has been Donkey Divination.